Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Before we get to Philippians, in 1 Corinthians 13:5, the Word of God says that love thinks no evil. Love does not think any evil. We might think to ourselves when we hear something like that, that love does not think bad things. And that is, of course, true, but it's really not what evil is. Evil is Satan's government. So what it's saying is that love doesn't think anything that is initiated by Satan's government. That includes things like accusations against people. Love does not accuse somebody. Even if it's true, then love won't say it. Love might have to deal with it, but it'll deal with it quietly and privately so as not to harm not even the guilty party. Love always is very careful to have the character of God and never the character of the enemy. And so love thinks no evil. Love does not think according to what the enemy thinks. He is an accuser of the brethren. So he accuses people. He seeks to kill and he seeks to destroy and he seeks to steal from people. And love does not think in those terms. Love does not think in a way that will harm somebody. Love does not think in a way that will damage somebody's reputation. Much less speak these things. Love won't even think them. And so, love thinks no evil. Now, the Word of God tells us in John 13:34 that the great commandment from God, this is no longer the Old Testament commandments that Moses gave, not the Ten Commandments. Those are done. Those are finished. We don't live in the Ten Commandments. God says He gives a new commandment, and that commandment is to love. And part of loving, according to the way the Bible describes it, is to think no evil. Now, love is not an emotion. If I live in my emotions, I'm not living in love. That's kind of interesting because we always think of love as an emotion, but it's not. Affection is an emotion. And certainly where love is present, emotions will respond. But the emotion itself is a response to love. It is not love itself. Love is really a decision followed by an action. And some of those actions are mental and some of them are outward. One of those actions, and there's a few of them like this, are not so much the action but the lack of an action. In other words, what love will not do, not only what love will do. Well, love will not think evil. Love will not think evil. In Proverbs 23:7, as a person thinks in his heart, that's who he is. And so, here's one of the big reasons why love doesn't think evil. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, in other words, what happens when the Holy Spirit is there? How does that show itself? Well, it shows itself, number one, through love in Galatians 5:22. So love doesn't think any evil because love is of God and the fruit of the Holy Spirit who is God is love. And so the mind of love is a mind that will not think evil things. It will not think an accusation. It doesn't think negativity. It doesn't think complaint or criticism. It doesn't nitpick. It doesn't nag. It doesn't think, well, it's all about me. It doesn't say, well, this is what I want and this is when I want it. And God forbid I not get what I want when I want it. There are a lot of people who think that way, but that's not love. God never thinks that way. And God doesn't want us thinking that way. Love thinks no evil. Love thinks no evil. Love is extremely patient and it's extremely kind. Those are its first two characteristics. Well, thinking evil is not patient, and thinking evil is not kind. Love doesn't get annoyed with people or upset with them or frustrated with them or anything like that. Love doesn't think evil because love comes from God, and God is living inside of you. Love doesn't think evil. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, God searches the heart and He understands the intent and the thoughts that I have. God is constantly interested in what you're thinking. God is constantly interested in your motives, the intent, your purpose in something. God is constantly interested in what's going on between my ears. Because that's really who I am, and He's trying to change me so that I'm like Him in Romans 8:29. In order for me to be like Him, I have to have His thoughts. And He's constantly trying to change me to be like Him. And so God's very interested in the way that we think. And part of the way that we think will reflect whether or not His character is present in us. It's very important to God how we think, because we are His body. Because we do represent Him. We are the ones that God sends when He wants to draw people to Himself. Our thought life is very important to God. In verse 8 of Philippians 4, I'm going to read this in the Weiss translation, so it's going to be a little bit different than your translation, but the meaning is the same. It says, whatever things have the character of truth, whatever things are worthy of reverence, whatever things are righteous, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are acceptable to God, whatever excellence there is or suitable object of praise, these things make the subject of careful reflection. The things also which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things habitually practice, and the God of peace shall be with you. God says, this is how you think. Sometimes a lot of people don't know how to think. Young people, learn to think. Learn to think for yourselves. Don't just turn on the TV and listen to the news and say, well, this is the way it is. No, those people have no clue how it is in 90% of the cases. Most of them are clueless. They don't know how it is. The Word of God tells you how it is. Whatever things have the character of truth. Now, truth is not exactly the same as fact. Fact may be truth or fact may not be truth. For example, the fact is that every person is a sinner. Truth is that Christ removes everybody's sin by His blood. And so, the fact is, yes, people are sinners. Truth is that we have no sin because God removes it and the blood of Christ takes care of us in that way. So truth is not always the same as fact. Fact is what you can look at and what you can measure and what you can understand. But fact is not always reliable because it depends on us. And our understanding is not always complete. Our ability to measure things is not always thorough. But that's how it works. Truth is much better. In John 17:17, the Word of God is truth. And so the Word of God never changes. The Word of God is completely reliable. And everything about life is determined and defined in the Word of God. So you can always trust the Word of God, even when you don't know whether you can trust facts. If you have something that looks like a fact, and it doesn't agree with truth from the Word of God, then know that the fact is not reliable, the truth is always reliable. And that happens a fair amount. often the facts don't appear to agree with the Word of God, and people will sometimes trust what they think are facts and say the Word of God is not correct, but that's not the case. They are wrong when they do that. The Word of God is correct, and the facts are not. God says, let God be true and every man a liar when that happens. Let me give you an example of that. In the 1950s, they couldn't find the city of Jericho. And they couldn't find it. They'd dig in a place and they couldn't find it, and they'd dig somewhere else and they couldn't find it. And they said, well, obviously the Bible is wrong. Jericho was a fictional city, they said. It didn't really exist. And they said it didn't exist and it was fiction because they couldn't find it. And then one archaeologist got this idea. He said, we've been looking all over for Jericho. Why don't we try looking for it where the Bible said it is? What an amazing idea. Use the truth. And so they went and they dug and they looked for Jericho where the Bible said Jericho was. And you know what? They found Jericho. It wasn't a myth. It wasn't fiction. The Bible was right. They were wrong. They looked somewhere other than where the Bible said, well, no kidding, you're not going to find it. If you look on a map and you want to go to Chicago, but you go to Florida, you're not going to find Chicago. They tried to do the equivalent of looking for Chicago in Florida, and when they couldn't find it, they said, well, obviously Chicago doesn't exist. And then somebody says, why don't we look for it where the map says it is? And if you do that, you'll find it. And they found Jericho. Because the Bible told them where Jericho was. Well, here's the thing about that. Whatever has the character of truth, whatever is according to the Word of God, that's what that means. Whatever is according to the Word of God, it has the character of truth, the Word of God is truth. Whatever things are worthy of reverence. In other words, whatever things are respectable. When it speaks of reverence, it's really reflecting on the nature of God. Whatever things reveal the nature of God. Whatever things are righteous. And righteousness in Romans 3:22 comes by faith. So it's really saying whatever things are according to faith in God's Word. Whatever things are pure, and there's a lot of problem with this today. People don't think purely. People think, well, this is what I want, or this is my opinion, or this is how I want it. And they get very selfish in their thinking. That's impure thinking. No, God says, whatever is pure, and purity is that which comes both out of the Word of God and the character of God, and it's what God intends for our lives to protect our lives. So whatever things are pure. And then he continues, whatever things are lovely. And that means according to the love of God. Whatever is according to the love of God, like think no evil, like patient and kind, like not envying or not being jealous. Those are things that are according to the love of God. Whatever things are acceptable to God, and the Word of God tells us what is acceptable to God, things like mercy, things like loving kindness, those are acceptable to God. Whatever excellence there is, and excellence means mental excellence, whatever high quality thinking, which is thinking through the Holy Spirit, in other words, letting the Holy Spirit control your thinking, or is a suitable object of praise. In other words, you see it and you say, wow, this is excellent. This is really fantastic. These things make the subject of your careful reflection. Don't think on negatives. Not only are they a waste of time for you, they're destructive to you. So don't think on negatives. Don't think in complaining, How many people think complaining in their mind, well, if it's only like this, and I don't like what they did, and I don't like what they said, and I don't like how it is. Don't think that way. That's a waste of time. It's a waste of your life. Young people, remember something. You get one life only. So use it really well. Don't let your moments be wasted because you don't get your moments back. Use your moments well. And then it continues, the things you've learned and received and heard and saw in me. Now, Paul was talking to them because he was their pastor. And this is the relationship that God wants people to have with their pastor, and that does require a pastor who is true to the Word of God. He's not preaching his opinions, he's preaching the Word of God as it actually is. If a pastor is preaching his opinions, he's not a good pastor. If he's preaching a message and he says, this is my opinion, well, that's fine because he told you ahead of time, this is his opinion. He can do that. He's allowed to have opinions just like anybody else, but he cannot represent his opinions as though they are equal to the Word of God. They are not equal. So the pastor has to preach the Word of God purely and cleanly and correctly, tell you honestly what the Word of God says and all of what the Word of God says. And that's not, of course, in one message. That's in many, many messages. Because otherwise, he's not hearing from the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 3, we see several times there that the Holy Spirit speaks through the pastor to the church. So if the pastor is giving you something that's not in the Bible and he does not say, this is just my opinion, then he's not teaching you what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. That kind of a pastor you don't accept. If that's a pastor in a church, then the people in that kind of a church should find themselves a pastor who does teach the Word of God. And there are pastors like that around. He says, if you have a pastor like that, the things that you've learned from him and received from him and heard from him and saw from him, let those be the things that you practice. So, number one, think correctly, and that, of course, comes through the Word of God, and it teaches us how to have those different characteristics of right thinking. And when you have the right thinking, practice the things that you learn from the Word of God. Use them. Practice them. Don't just hear them and ignore them. No, hear them and use them. It's like getting a pair of pants for Christmas. If you get a pair of pants for Christmas, what do? You put them on. And you wear them. You don't just let them sit under the Christmas tree and never touch them. The Word of God is like that too. When you hear the Word of God, use it in your thinking. When you hear the Word of God, use it in your decision making. When you hear the Word of God, let your emotions respond not to the circumstance, but to what the Word of God says about the circumstance. And the Word of God has a lot to say about every circumstance. You just have to know the Word of God, so you know what it says. Use the Word of God in practice, in other words, in the details of your life, actually use it to think with, to decide with, to give you guidance so that you know what to do, and so on. And the result is that the God of peace will be with you. There's a lot of people who lack peace in their life. They live in all sorts of anxiety, all sorts of negativity, perhaps anger, frustration, all kinds of negatives, because they have no peace in their lives. Why don't they have peace in their lives? Because they don't think right and they don't apply what the Word of God says, starting in their thinking and then continuing to things like their decisions. Use the word of God and you will have peace in your life. All of your experiences are based in your perceptions. Your perceptions are the way that you experience things because of the way you see them, because of the way you understand them. All of your experiences come from your perceptions. Circumstances and people do not determine your experiences. The way you see and understand circumstances and people, that's what determines your experiences. If you want to see them and understand them correctly, the way God sees them, then you need to think the way God thinks. God sees them as blessings, and sometimes if we don't think correctly, we might completely miss the blessing. We might even think it's a curse, when in truth it was a blessing. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says that all things are for your sake. If I know how to think with the Word of God, then I will be able to experience that and I will benefit from it, from all things. And when I benefit from all things, nothing can shake my peace. Learn to think correctly. It's so important. Learn to think correctly. Whatever is of God, that's what you think with. If it's not of God, ignore it. Get rid of it. Don't even get near it. Don't entertain it. Only what is from the Word of God. That's what you think with. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.